Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia, Florida line. How's everybody doing down there? Certainly want to give a shout out to my people over in Crawford, Alabama, holding down Highway 80, headed out toward Tuskegee. I hope things are fine over that way. And what about my people over near Fortson, Georgia? The people over in Midland, over in the Panhandle of Muskogee County. I hope things are going well with everybody. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese for June the 9th, 2019. I tell you, we are in the sixth month of the year. When this month is over, 2019 will be halfway done. But, you know, there are some critical things that we are approaching. One being the summer. And we've already had a period of extreme heat. So you can just imagine it's probably going to come back. So we got to be make sure we're mindful of that. And, you know, and it's also tropical season. And I know we've been getting some rain here lately because the tropical wave is moving through. But this is the time in which we have to watch the tropics because, you know, hurricane season is right around the corner. And last year, you know, we had that major hurricane that came up through the panhandle and just devastated parts of South Georgia. So we got to be on the lookout for that because we're not too far from the coastline in order to feel the impacts of a very strong hurricane if one was to come through. And so just make sure we're mindful of that. But we're going to continue on with Sunday Conversation for today. And today, I just want to have a general conversation. I know usually we have themes and things of that nature, but today I just want to have a general conversation. I asked one of my good friends to come in, one of my good friends, mentors. I tell you, this guy has been a blessing ever since he's been in Columbus area. He continues to be a blessing at his church and even in the community. And that's my good friend, Pastor Curtis Crocker. How you doing, Pastor Crocker?
Teddy, I'm doing really, really, really well today. It's a little hot outside, but guess what? I am truly blessed to be on this side of the dirt, my friend. How are you doing?
That is truly a blessing. Yeah, I certainly got to concur with that. It is a blessing to be on this side and in God's good grace. And so, you know, things are just awesome. How are things at Metropolitan?
Metropolitan, wow, we are a growing church for growing Christians, building the kingdom one soul at a time. That is our motto. But Metropolitan is doing really, really, really well. My seventh year being at Metropolitan, we will be celebrating that anniversary on this Sunday at 2:30. But in those 7 years, there's been some good times and there's been some bad times. But you know something? And when I really look at it, we're all working together. And to work together, that means that we have to continue to communicate. And as we grow, continue to allow people to grow in their own pace. But God has truly been good to Metropolitan and the Metropolitan family in these 7 years.
And that's good to hear. Mm-hmm. That's good to hear because right now, you know, there's so many challenges we have throughout the community, you know,
that's
throughout
right.
the city, throughout the
that's
state.
That's right. That's right.
And we all got to do our little bit to make sure that we are holding it together.
That's right.
And you carry a big responsibility, you and the amazing First Lady, Miss Alicia Crocker.
Alicia
you
Crocker.
Know, she's my favorite. I just, you know, we just get along, but she's just absolutely awesome.
Can I give a shout out to her?
Because you better do it.
She's doing, you know, that is my apple, you know, in my eye. She is celebrating and has celebrated 25 years at our company that she works for, and I just want to give her a shout out for 25 years of service. You know, sometimes when you stay with a company that long, they don't give you what you think that you may deserve, but she has worked and she has done an outstanding job with that particular company. So I just want to say, honey, congratulations on your 25th year. Amen.
Congratulations, First Lady mm-hmm. Crocker. And of course, I also got to give a shout out to our other good friend, Billy Ann. You
know, sister.
You know, it's you know, when I'm talking to my wife, I call them the Stitching Sisters.
That's it.
Man, they've done some great work for us, and appreciate them. And, you know, and Pastor, I wanted you to come in today and have a conversation with me mm-hmm. about the community generally. We've been seeing a lot going on that's going to require a lot of healing and a lot of passionate work, you know, a lot of hugging in the community, a lot of conversations letting folks know we still love each other, you know, and at this moment I just certainly want to send my respects and my condolences and my sympathy to the family of Miss Deanne Champion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a very horrific domestic violence event that happened here in the city, and unfortunately the biggest victims are her two young boys.
There are two young boys. That's correct.
Her two young boys. And from a pastor perspective, mm-hmm. what are some words that you can say?
What I can say to those, one of the things, that, and I'm glad you asked that question, because if you remember JoJo Banks, mm-hmm. he was a member of my church and his family, and they were left without a father, mm-hmm. Without a husband. We have a responsibility. You know, there's one of the apologists that I have been studying. His name is Ravi Zacharias, and he talks about predestination, preordination, but he also talks about free will. And in that free will, as human beings, we have a responsibility, what I call human responsibility for other people. The Bible talks about God knowing the plans for us, good and evil. But at the end of the day, there's a responsibility that we have as human beings to make sure that we take care what we call the least of these. And what that really means is that there are a group of people out here that may not have everything that we may have, but guess what? We have a responsibility to make sure that we help them to understand that they are loved, help them to understand that they are somebody, help them to understand that there are opportunities for them to get education, and so forth and so on. So as a church body, one of the things I try to do is to help our congregation people to understand that there's more to life than just doing whatever they want to. There's a discipline, there's a responsibility that we have to other people.
And I'm glad you talked about our responsibility to other people, because, you know, right on the heels of that, we had a situation where there was a shooting mm-hmm. in a hotel lobby up there in North Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had, a gentleman found dead in the freezer at one of the local grocery stores, wasn't malicious.
Uh-huh.
You know, you still, as a community, you hate to hear something like that happening. And it just seems like we've been dealing with this cloud of death and violence and crime for a while.
At
some point, Pastor Crocker, we have to get to a point where we are comfortable addressing this in the community, addressing it boldly.
Yeah.
And taking a stance on it.
Yeah, and one of the things that I have witnessed within the last couple of weeks is that the guys who are trying the water gun challenge, okay, that is something that people are trying to do in the community to change the mindset of how we handle conflict. And I appreciate that. Death is something that we all are going to have to experience. One of the things I don't like is when you see people who are dying too soon, when the babies die. You talked about death, and there was an incident with Miss King domestic violence where the husband decided to take her life. But, you know, and you're absolutely correct. How do you address these issues? How do you...
Pastor, how did we get to a point to where people are so comfortably feeling like it's okay?
Yeah,
I want to play God and determine when someone
and making judgment. You know, we have gotten to a place where violence is a common thing for many of us. That if there's no discipline when it comes to life and death anymore, it appears. I remember a time growing up, and mama and daddy made sure that we understood how precious life really was, and I'm not saying because of the social economic status, whatever, but we understood that, you know, something, we are our brother's keeper, and I think we've gotten away from that.
I think we've gotten away from that too, and I'm not naive, Pastor mm-hmm. Pastor Crocker. I know that there isn't one thing that we can do that will just fix the challenges that we have in the community.
Can I say something there?
Go ahead.
Yeah, very, very good. And I'm glad you said that, because it is a systematic problem.
Right.
If I can recommend this to the community, it's time to develop more mentorship programs. One of the things that I myself and a few other folks, we mentor at Martin Luther King Elementary School. Mm-hmm. And you catch them while they are young. And you try to teach them, first of all, number one, they are somebody. Because in the system, sometimes our children are, you know, they may get in a little trouble and the system now just want to send them home. But instead of sending them home, give them to us and let us take them into a classroom and talk to them. And it's unfortunate that most of the kids that are being sent on are our African-American students.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we have to make sure that we grasp hold to them and take the time to help them to understand first that you are somebody and spend time with them. This thing, I also work at the DeKalb County Jail in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm the lead chaplain there. And what I see is very disturbing to me when I see kids that are 16, 15, 14 that have been arrested for armed robbery,
right,
arrested for malice murder, arrested for aggravated assault. And these are our young people.
Right.
So there is an attack on the youth. There's an attack on our young African-American males. There's an attack on the black family. There's an attack, and we have to be very cognizant of this thing and pull together as a community to try to see what we can do to bring it back together.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because the school-to-prison pipeline is real.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've recently read some comments by some of our Board of Education members that are really concerned about us establishing a police force within our school district. That concerns me, too. Because, one, you know, I have relatives that are law enforcement officers, high ranking in GBI and other organizations as well. And they go to work every day with the intention to protect and serve. I don't think that they are intentionally trying to harm anyone. I can't fathom that, because I know their heart. I know what they're trying to do. And I feel like that is the majority of our law enforcement officers. But when you have the situation like what you have, a case that I'm defending in Fulton County, where a guy was brought in a mental situation, and in his cell, after he had been checked in, knowing that he didn't have anything on him that could possibly hurt anyone, because he was accused of touching, pleasuring himself in his cell, six officers charged in, two of them tased him at the same time. One pepper sprayed him, and two other officers commenced to beat him. And you can tell from the marks in the body, the autopsy report revealed all of this. And he died in Fulton County Jail for being locked up for misdemeanor trespassing. You know, when you look at situations like that, and then and then when you think about the fact that we're now putting police officers in our schools, expect them to do their job. What a principal may look at and see as, okay, these are minors, I need to develop them. You know, I need to coach them. Don't play like that in the hall. Don't horseplay around. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, I know your parents. We're going to have to discuss this with them. If an officer sees something that's a violation of the law, handcuffs are coming out.
That's right.
And now we're feeding into the school to prison pipeline.
Yes.
So that's a big concern that I have. What are your thoughts about?
I struggle with that, because we have lost something within parenting is what it's where it begins. It's unfortunate that our parents are not being educated as far as this prisoner pipeline, but I struggle with that, because of the simple fact that nowadays we are living in a society, and the first thing is that there's a lot of fear for our police officers, and in that, and when our kids in school see them, there's an automatic fear, and in that fear, you know, you never know what may have occurred if they have made a mistake, if they have done something that they did not mean to do, but it could go to the extreme. And just like you case, the case that you're talking about in Fulton County, someone can get hurt because someone panics. And I struggle with that. I struggle with that, especially in our school systems. But it all goes back to parenting. Mm-hmm. Our parents need to get more involved with our children's education, mm-hmm. and also in discipline to help them to understand, number one, you go to school to learn. And if you do not make the grade, then how are you going to be successful in life? So that's something in which I wish I had the answer to. Mm-hmm. I wish I can, you know, just say no. That's not allow that to occur. But it all boils down to the parents of these kids, and making sure that our children understand the responsibility that they have when they go to school.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So right. I think it right. starts there.
Right. Yeah. And you know, and I understand that one of the official rationales that was put out there was that, you know, with all the school shootings that are happening around the world,
right.
we got to make sure that our schools are secure safe. And yeah. safe in the event something happened.
But doesn't that fall back to some other things that I think we're struggling with now, and that's the gun laws and the right to bear arms.
Absolutely.
And things.
Absolutely.
You know, and because, you know, the Virginia case, here again, you've got useless lives that have been taken by one of our very own,
yeah.
okay? And but it's unnecessary. So I don't know, but there is a lot of mental illness that is walking around nowadays as well,
mm-hmm.
and the mental illness issue, we have to be able to address that. So there are a lot of issues in which we have to take a look at it, and the church as a whole, we cannot just stand still. We must be able to stand and make a stand for these particular issues, which is, you know, gun laws, you know, mental illness, things, these things, and put resources in place so that our children, our people have 100% opportunities for spiritual and physical and emotional growth.
We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break, but you don't want to miss the second half. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into the conversation. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We'll be right back.
I'm Joe Adams. I'm a pharmacist. I'm also a parent that knows the pain of losing their child to an opiate overdose. We lose 64,000 lives a year due to this epidemic. No one is immune from this. Yes, I attained what I viewed as the highest level that I could reach within my profession. And yes, it happened to my family. Your pharmacist has a huge impact on you as a provider of healthcare information.
It's important to have an open line of communication with your pharmacist about safe medication usage, including opioids. The members of the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy focus on ensuring that pharmacies and pharmacists are providing safe medications and patient services for you and your family.
I will never see my son again. If you think it can't happen to your family, think again.
Learn how to keep you and your loved ones safe at nabp.pharmacy.
Welcome back to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, Pastor Curtis Crocker. I want to go back to something that you touched on earlier. That's why I love talking with you, man. You're so deep. You're so real. You and I have been here in Columbus about the same amount of time. This mm-hmm. is home for us.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of see things through a different lens.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring different experiences, mm-hmm. you know, from outside the city that and best practices and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about mentorship. Why did you bring that up? Why do you think mentorship is so important?
We all come from someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And like I mentioned earlier, all of us did not have, all of us did not grow up with a silver spoon in our mouths. All of us may not have had a father in the house. We may not have had a Reverend Adams or Eugene Adams who lived next door to him. But, you know, mentorship is important because, you know, that information, the knowledge that I have, mm-hmm. it's not for me just to hold on to it. It's to spread it and to help people to grow.
One of my good mentors used to tell me, he used to mm-hmm. say, Teddy, he said, there are a lot of people around here claim to be good mentors.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but something that oftentimes those that are mentors to their mentees, they forget to do that last M thing when they're done.
Mm.
And that M thing is move.
Move, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the purpose of mentoring is to prepare.
That's right.
And even preparation will age if it's mm-hmm. not used.
That's right. That's right.
Am I off base here?
No, you're not off base, because the whole objective when you're trying to draw a straight line in somebody else's life
mm-hmm.
is to get from one point to another.
Mm-hmm.
But in that line, they're going to be divots in the road where you may fall and scrape your knee. You may fall and get off track. But you know what? You still got a opportunity within that endeavor to climb that hill back up to that straight line. And that's what mentorship should be. You use the word move. How do we move people? Well, we spend time. We organize their thought patterns. We organize, and some barbers probably saying, wow, you're trying to get people to be robots. No, we're not. What we're trying to get people to do is to think freely and to be aware that they can do the imaginable if they put their mind, heart, and soul to it. That's what the purpose, I believe, mentorship is, especially in this season. That's why I want to challenge people in Columbus, Georgia, that you have to touch young lives in this city. If you want to see a change, it ain't going to happen overnight. Did I use the word ain't? I'm sorry. And I got a doctorate. But at the end of the day, it ain't going to happen overnight. It's going to be something that we going to have to pull ourselves together and work together to make sure it gets done. Everybody should have someone that they're trying to teach or trying to help them to be a better person. And I don't know what else to say about that, but we have to put forth an effort, some type of effort. And the word that you used was to move people from one area to another.
Well, I guess, you know, my mentor was saying it more from the perspective of the mentee. When you get down, when the mentor is done mentoring the mentee, the mentor's responsibility is to self-move. That's something internal. That's an internal determination.
But how do you help people develop that intestinal fortitude to do something different? Especially when their environment has shown them something that, and culturally, that's shown them something that, you know something, I can't move. I got to stay here. There was a book, Who Moved My Cheese? And the mice who almost died stayed in the same place. We've got people dying because they've stayed in the same place for too long. And guess what? We're not moving. So, I challenge this community to help move people from that place of death.
Wow, that's very deep. Because if you look at the community, if you look at some of the challenges that we have, which I think we can overcome, I think we can reverse the tide on a lot of this. But I personally don't.
Can I play the angel's advocate? Really, can we?
I think we can, but I really don't think that we have much time, though.
Do we want to?
Because the longer we continue to, and I think we want to, and I think you know that. You're playing devil's advocate, but you know that because you have taken the time out to engage those that wouldn't find an audience with your country club group and other folks. You know, I'll just go say it straight out. You've that's part of the reason why I want you here, because I know you're connected to the real happenings. You know what's going on, and so there are many out there, young black men, young black females, women, that want to see some positive things happen in our community. I'll give you an example. Like the group that came together and sponsored the funding of the rings for Carver High School boys and girls. That wasn't an official effort. That was just regular folks.
Grassroots.
Young folks, though. They were young.
Fine.
Grassroots.
Yeah.
And they said, we're going to find a way to pick, because they understood the importance of making sure that those kids are able to memorialize that event in their minds and remember that. And part of their memory needs to be the community was there for me.
Yeah. And then guess what that has taught that person that was on the receiving end? When I get to this point or something, how can I give back?
How can I give back?
I don't. I think we have produced a society of takers, and that we don't want to give back. Mine mentality. I don't want to move from me. Me. I'm hurting. I'm this. I'm that. I'm this. I'm that. And then the amount of time we spend on trying to fix me, guess what has happened? That's why I believe the adversary, the Satan, whatever you would like to call him, steps in and try to keep us in a place so that we don't give back. Perfect example. I like that example about giving back to the school. Now, guess when I get older, guess what I should do? Give something back. But how do we keep people motivated to give back?
You know, That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that is by setting the example. You don't have to motivate people to give back if you create a culture that is expected that you give back to the community that gave to you.
That's right.
We got to change the culture in a lot of what we do.
You're speaking my language, changing the culture.
And that's going to be a fight because change is never easy.
Gotcha. And I'm glad you meant because that's exactly what I am talking about. Change. It's hard to change. My grandmama taught me this. My mama taught me this. But sometimes, although that information was good, is great, is something that you got to hold on to help grow, but there may be another avenue of approach to getting to that place where grandmother then was talking about. And it may not be the same system, but at the end of the day, the results are the same. And that is greatness. Okay? Grandmama, you know, let's go out here and plant these butter beans, you know, or something to that effect. But guess what grandmother was teaching us how to do and mom was teaching us how to do? How to plant something in the ground and watch it grow.
Watch it grow.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying something here. Mm-hmm. We don't spend the time to plant seed into fertile ground in our young folks and some people who are marginalized, who have been oppressed. We want to just push them off to the side.
We've taught folks to just wait for the harvest.
But how about putting some effort into helping the harvest come?
Which requires patience.
Patience, that's right. Care. Understand. Humility. All of that. Meekness. Uh-huh. Yeah, the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit. So if forbearance, you got to know how to be able to be patient. If my people who are called by my name would do what? Humble themselves.
That's right.
And pray. And then what? Turn. That turning process is very difficult for many of us because we are comfortable in the place that we are. Mm-hmm. So we can't, what we talked about earlier, move. We can't touch the least of these because we don't want to turn. Going back to me. I got mine. You got to get yours.
It will require a lot of changes. You know, I was telling a friend earlier today, I said, January and February, we remember people like Dr. Martin Luther King and those that fought for us. And, you know, but it seems like it's harder these days for your Martin Luther Kings and your Rosa Parks to find their place of leadership.
To flourish. Well, our community has to get rid of the crabs in the barrel syndrome. When I see you being successful, Teddy, or I see you doing something good in the community, let's celebrate them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not try to tear people down. Tonza Thomas, when she was president of NAACP.
She answered a call when nobody else would. That's right.
But now I think we're spending more time tearing her down instead of building her back up.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure that when these types of things happen, the Bible says we all fall short of His glory.
That's right. We all. Nobody's excluded. Nope.
So when we fall short, Teddy, let me push you back up. Let me get you back to a place where people can see the good side.
Mm-hmm.
Let me help you do that. And I don't think we have too many people trying to do that to get us back to where we need to be.
Wow. Well, Pastor Crock, I tell you, this has been an amazing conversation with you, and you certainly met all of my expectations. I knew that you would be informative. I knew that you would be inspirational. I knew that your passion would come through. And that's part of the type of conversation I wanted to have today. I wanted to kind of, you know, get out of the floor that we had been in for a while and get back to focusing on what matters and focusing on what we need to have our eyes on. And if we don't give any attention or any type of special treatment to nothing at all, we cannot fail our young folks.
Huh.
My generation feels that is now our responsibility.
That's right.
To make sure that the little kids coming up through elementary, middle, and high school right now, and those that are headed off to college, when they return home, and we're going to beg them to come back home, because we're losing too much young talent here in Columbus. Too many of our folks headed to Atlanta, to D.C., to New York.
I did it. Too much young talent. Left you know, go to Morehouse and came back, you know?
We got to leave this place better than the way we found it for them.
That's
but
right.
We can't do that from the sideline, Pastor Crocker.
No.
We got to get in the game.
That's right. And getting in the game doesn't mean being on the television or being interviewed. You know, being in the game just simply being a voice and making a difference in someone's life.
Right.
You don't have to have a lot of money.
Right.
Just have a passion to see people get to a better place.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to close out the show on that today. Pastor Crocker just said you don't have to have a lot of money. You just need to have a passion to see people get to a better place. And I think that we need to adopt that as the overall spirit here in our city and our region in the Chattahoochee Valley. And let's get control over the matters that are tearing us apart, that are making all the negative headlines, that are challenging our youth, that are directing them down a different and wrong path. Let's get ahead of that. Let's start today to make that difference, to make that change, and let's make a promise to the future that we're going to put us back on a track to where Columbus is flourishing, Columbus is safe, our elderly individuals can take a walk as the sun set in their neighborhood where they spent years paying for their homes and not worry about anything crazy, where our young folks can, a parent can let a teenager go to the park and have a good time. That's if the park's open. That's something else we got to talk about too, with the recreation facility. Man, I got to close this show out. I'm sorry. I got to close it out. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I think you know what the topic next week is going to be, because it just came up just then. But I hope to hear you next week, have you with me as well. And we'll hear talk with you again Sunday, June 16th, for Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, his website, and his radio programs are not to be considered necessarily the beliefs of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.